the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Hour number two, Light the Tower, a special edition of Light the Tower because we're doing a two-hour live edition of the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Jeff Howe, Rod Babers, Matt Butler, Snoop Daniel behind the glass. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. So this song right here, this is Back in the Mud by Bubba Sparks. This was on a Madden soundtrack back in the day, which is why it might sound familiar. Bubba Sparks did this one year as one of those intro songs for like College Game Day and big college games on ABC. Guys, I had no recollection that CB mentioned it on the text line one day. And he was like, yeah, I remember when Bubba Sparks did that for the 2003 season? I'm like, and I was watching a metric crap ton of college football at the time. It just totally escaped me. I had no idea. Like, don't remember it at all. I had to go back and pull up the YouTube videos. I'm like, oh, yeah, it really happened. So it legit happened.
But I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I don't even think I remember this song, actually.
I remember because of Madden. That's it. It was on a Madden soundtrack.
I remember Bubba Sparks, but not this song.
Yeah. I take some grief from my brother for it, but I love me some Bubba Sparks.
Love you some Bubba Sparks.
So, ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with doing a live 2-hour edition of the Longhorn Blitz either. So we had our cliffhanger in Inconceivable. I won't set it up again. This is the Paul Splitorf audio. Now, in its entirety, again.
You want me to play the first clip again?
Yeah,
no?
Just play the whole thing, Snoop.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, here's the first half of it. We got
quickly down on the count, nothing in two.
Craig, it doesn't have anything to do with Missouri, but it was, in fact, a Kansas Cityan that I need to mention. Paul Splitorf, one of the greats in baseball and one of the fine people we ever met in the announcing business, is dead.
0-2 pitch, and here's a fly ball out toward right.
It's not funny. And here's the second part.
A pretty doggone good basketball analyst because he played basketball as well and worked on the Big 12 Network.
He did, and I first met him at Omaha did a game in Austin in 1980s. He was a color man right after he finished his pro career, and there was not a nicer guy in the business. Cancer.
So first there pitch it is. Mark Payton misses for ball one.
The thought of the pitch coming in and everybody knowing that he has to get it in and trying to summarize a story, but it just ends with the blurting one quick word, cancer.
Yeah, so just the awkward dismount there. I just wanted to bring back the Paul Splitorf audio. I was talking about it on the podcast, and there it is. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, you can have it right there, your Paul Splitorf experience. So, guys, as we get back into it, and we'll give away another copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine coming up at the bottom of the hour. Again, this is our last week to give away copies of DCTF on the air. We'll do one at the bottom of the hour. But I wanted to take the top of hour number two as we continue our discussion of Texas, the Big 12, the SEC. In case you're just tuning in, if you hadn't heard the news, Texas and Oklahoma released a joint statement today. They have notified the Big 12 that they do not intend to renew the conference grant of media rights that expire in 2025. This is the first step for both schools towards exiting the Big 12 and what appears now to be an impending venture into the SEC. Craig and I had an LHN discussion. That was a while back. It's been a couple of months. But I thought about LHN from this standpoint, Rod. Remember, when it came online, it was some people blame it correctly or incorrectly, for the demise of the initial Big 12 as we knew it. Mm-hmm. But I always wonder this about LHN. If LHN knew, and they didn't know at the time, they didn't know until the train was so far down the tracks it couldn't be stopped. If they had known that high school football and high school athletics would not be a part of their platform, would LHN even exist?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, if that was the case, then either they were misled or they didn't do their due diligence.
One or the other.
Because you could just went and talk to the, honestly, Craig Way probably could have told you that, that wasn't going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Authority on high school football, he probably could have told you, oh, there's no way that they're going to allow that to happen. That would be a
conflict.
It would be an advantage for Texas.
Yes. Right.
Obvious. But that's a huge recruiting
advantage.
That's
why the rest of the conference would flip.
They were upset about that anyway, but yeah, so I don't actually know how much you know, that they thought that would be a part of the deal. I think, you know, everybody believed that LHN would be this transformational entity that would give Texas this big time advantage, even aside from the Texas high school football rumor conjecture whether it was going to be a part of it. And the truth is, it never really was that. Yeah, monetarily, Texas got, I don't know, the 15 mil a year deal, whatever it is. But it never really set Texas apart. It wasn't something that became a huge asset advantage for them across the board. It was really cool. It's one more thing Texas could brag about. Texas could recruit. They could use it, you know, to help them, trying to brand themselves. Almost your kind of self-contained propaganda network, if you will.
And self-contained tier three rights. Yeah, like, it was a huge deal with that.
It was a huge deal, but it didn't really change the game. It didn't change the landscape. Yeah.
The one thing that it did do, though, at the time.
Great talent hub. A lot of talent, a lot of good talent went through
for sure.
LHN. Manny Acho, Kaylee Hartung, Sam Steele.
Jane Slater.
I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, and when you look at the way that it was able to sort of pioneer itself, because you're right, the utilization of it not only didn't work out the way Texas fans would have thought, but it really didn't work out for Texas or for ESPN because of the fall off at the time of the program. But what it did do was, we didn't really, you know, have these SEC networks. It wasn't a standard that you had a whole network. What Longhorn Network did was sort of make that tipping point. Now, everybody was envious because they're like, this is unfair. This is one school. They're using that tier three instead of all the hated pay-per-view, which was always so hard to find certain games per year. You get to funnel some of those lower of your schedule games through that network. And then they saw and followed suit with these other conferences because the SEC network didn't fully exist in the way that it is now. You had ESPN invest once they got in, and now you can see these lesser level games that if you're a junkie for college football, like I've been my whole life and just can't get enough college football, but also in the modern daily fantasy to gambling aspect of it, so many people want to just watch these games. And it opened up the way that at the bottom of the schedule when I was a kid, you couldn't watch all the Texas games, say, in a season. And if you were a school lesser than Texas, you definitely had it. We're talking about Oklahoma still having issues with getting those games on. And at least it opened the door. So a thing like the SEC network would have games on, and the ACC network at least has some type of platform that they're aspiring to build to where you get those bottom, those tier three games sort of out to the country. And it helps college football. Spraying, and you brand yourself well for at least, say, Texas or for the SEC. Now, other conferences haven't done nearly as good a job at utilizing it, but it sort of was the first one that was just built into all your cable packages, and you got it with your sports.
Like, I figured, well, and that's only in the state of Texas, too. Like, people live outside of the state of Texas.
It's changed a lot, too.
You know, with LHN, it probably would have existed without the high school component, but I don't think the ESPN would have done the contract the way they did. Had they known then what they knew eventually, which is that high school sports wouldn't be a part of it.
Because at the time, I remember watching Malcolm Brown versus like Aaron Green on ESPN in those games. And that was like right at that same time, the year before LHN launched. And you could sort of see the idea that's in the mind, because you'd always get that opening weekend and Miami Northwestern would be on ESPN. And if they're showing these games on the national level, they thought they would then be able to use it on one of their separate channels. But at Longhorn Network's viewed a lot differently than ESPN, too.
And if we just happen to show one of Jonathan Gray's games, who's committed to Texas at the time, but it didn't end up being like that. And you know, LHN's at the point, Rod, where you said it at the outset, we're like, man, this could be groundbreaking, this could be revolutionary. But now you didn't get that far into it, where ESPN basically, and we get this all the time. The reason why the LHN conversation is relevant, we get this all the time, like on the text line, we talk about it on the site. The flagship message board at Horns 24/7. I get asked about it all the time. Like, well, why didn't LHN do this for programming? Why didn't they do this? Bottom line, ESPN's not going to put any more money into it other than broadcasting live sports. It's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, for the Olympic sports, it's done exactly what I thought it would do for sports other than football and men's basketball, which it's been great for volleyball, for women's basketball, baseball, softball, you name it, tennis. It's been great for those sports, but it just... I don't know. It's just been a miss. And I believe now, I think at this point, that it's always been kind of the albatross is why Texas can't move conferences or do something else. Well, you got the LHN contract. You got the LHN contract. Now, whether that gets rolled. And somebody mentioned that, well, the SEC has two networks. Somebody mentioned that on the text line. Not really. They've got an SEC alternate where they can stick an extra game, but not two true standalone networks. Maybe this gets rolled into that, and we'll see. But I don't know, Rod, the LHN deal, I don't believe that that's what killed the Big 12, but it, as we look at maybe this being kind of the beginning of the end for the Longhorn Network, maybe, I just, it didn't have near the impact or the gravitas, whatever label you want to put on, just didn't have that oomph that we thought it would.
Yeah, but in the end, it was something Texas had to do. It's almost, for those who are like, well, see, in the end, Texas shouldn't have gone with LHN. It ended up breaking up the conference, and there was this negative blowback, if you will, from it. But it was an experiment to see if it could have had that, you know, that transformational, revolutionary effect where it could have changed the landscape of college sports and gave Texas a huge, significant advantage. It did not. Monetarily, Texas benefited from it, but it didn't have, you know, that huge recruiting advantage that we thought it was. And mostly, Matt's right, it's the lack of utilization of it on Texas' part. Honestly, with this, if you'd have had this holy trinity of Kevin Elteich, CDC, and
Jay Hartzell
here now when LHN came in, maybe it's a different discussion. Remember back then, Texas went through a period of adjustments right after that because the program fell off almost simultaneously. I don't know which one came first, football falling off or LHN. But it was pretty close to being right there together.
And back to back.
Texas didn't hold up its end of the bargain either. So the network, the LHN, couldn't necessarily be promoted. Nobody really was interested in it because the bigger story was, what the hell's going on with the football program?
Mm-hmm.
I think that what you said, Rob, the experiment, and I think that's kind of what ESPN did. It was an expensive experiment.
Yeah.
But basically, I think they looked at it and said, look, we're going to launch this individual school network. If it can't be if a Texas network can't be successful, then we just can't do it with another single entity. It's got to be conferences or multiple schools or whatever.
Good point. I agree with you on that.
And with the way that the modern
now we have our answer.
And now we know.
And we saw that, you know, from just like the year 2005 on, whenever the spectrum space expanded. And then if you're ESPN, you used to have a couple networks. And then now you can create all of these different ones because you have that many options. So it's worth the risk to go out there and gamble to see, because at the time, every school was shopping around what we talked about earlier, those tier three rights. And at the time, Big 12 schools were quite upset that Texas was going to at the bottom end, because they didn't necessarily, it wasn't like the SEC where it's equal distribution. The Big 12 at the time, you had tiered out based on appearances, and then your tier three money was something that would sort of, you know, each school had their own independent way to basically license it out or use whatever, you know, alignment you want with a media company. And when then you see Texas on the forefront of something that no other schools even knew that was would exist, and then it's like they're getting $15 million on top of what we already do with our normal TV deal. That's was where Texas just had to say yes and go from there and see what happens. And ESPN, they know that they're going to get every Longhorn nerd like me. And I've watched so many replays of old games. And that's something that's like, if you're a Texas fan, you'll land on that all the time. Now, it's not going to get you big ratings and stuff like that. But for what its goal was, if they wanted the worst case scenario, they're going to monopolize the Texas fans and have a decent enough money to have an automated station where you aren't paying out a ton of cost to run anything. It's basically running itself, and you can just have one little slight profit or whatever it is in the whole conglomerate. When you add it all up, it really works.
If you've got access to that film library, which ESPN Classic has a massive film library, then you can keep LHN going as long as you want it to go and just have basically the film library and live sports. But, you know, I mentioned that some people, correctly or incorrectly, blame the Longhorn Network for the demise of the Big 12. And, you know, Rod, when we go back to more than a decade ago, when initially Colorado-Nebraska leave and then Missouri and Texas A&M leave, and we've had this 10-team conference in its current format since the start of the 2012 season, with those, you know, those old, the holdovers from the original Big 12, in addition to TCU and West Virginia, the more I think about it, I don't know that there's much the Big 12 could have done to save the league. In other words, I think now that we look at it, maybe it really was this whole time, hey, just hold on as long as you can, because the minute Texas and Oklahoma decide to do something else, this league is going to be done anyway. I don't know there's much. We talk about, one of my ideas was, can you add like BYU and Boise State for football only? And kind of just make this expanded and make it a, you know, the 12-team football conference? Or could you have added a UCF or Memphis or whoever?
But
and
does that
got
still,
you back to 12? Now you're back into, okay, now you're it's more pieces of the pie.
Yeah,
getting divided.
What's your market share, and are those brands big enough to improve the overall profile of the conference? Not really. You're just staying alive.
Lateral move. Yeah, you're surviving.
You're just trying to stay alive. You're not really prospering. I think Texas got to the point where it's like, well, the Big 12 is going to die. It's a sinking ship, and everybody knew that. And you're right, Texas and Oklahoma, they were holding up the conference. I think they got tired of holding up the conference. I think they got tired of having to pretty much be the two big brands that determine the course of action. They'd rather go to a much bigger brand, and there'll be a big fish in a big pond in the SEC, but at least there's more stability and vision and leader and better leadership overall.
Yeah.
I think Texas got tired of being with bad leadership in the Big 12, which has honestly been a long time. Mm-hmm. But we're going on with this really terrible, inept leadership in the Big 12.
And it was something we were talking about during one of the breaks earlier, but when you talk about what the SEC's been able to do and what they've spawned from literally just the middle of nowhere USA, from your Tuscaloosas to your Starkvilles and across the area. Now if you look, like, you have the epicenter of college football, and it's been that. It's organically grown because of the fervor of a sport that was called a regional sport that still, even in like the Northeast, don't view college football the way, say, we view it in Austin, because we're a college town that's grown into a big city. Well, SEC country is a ton of small, tiny towns, and only because of their fervor for the sport and their love of the sport, it's their identity, and it's now expanding out that you can entice the Blue Bloods to come over, because you have built something that not only on the field has produced and inside your small markets and small towns has created, you know, just the most popular sport outside of the NFL almost nationally when you look across the board, and it's across the entire country where all the top recruits come from. And when you're Texas, you can't ignore it. You just look and you see it. And if they want you because you have some type of long-term brand that can bring something to them, it's pretty crazy to think what they've grown from to now be the future of college football. And like we were saying, like, just a term that you use to explain the sport, SEC is that strong of a power, and it's grown from the love of the sport.
Yeah, that's what we talked about in the first hour. I mean, you have to. To me, the SEC is not a regional conference anymore. Like, Southeastern Conference doesn't apply. The SEC is its own brand, and it's bigger than the sport. But, Rod, as we look at maybe probably the demise of the Big 12 is basically what this is going to do.
It's done.
If I'm in a leadership position at Texas Tech or Baylor or TCU, Oklahoma State, any of the schools left in the league, I'm not listening to Bob Bowlesby or trying to do any kind of group meeting. I'm looking out for number one right now. I'm looking out for myself. I'm reaching out to the Big Ten, the Pac-12. I'm figuring out where do I have a landing spot somewhere. Like, that should be the lesson in this for those schools is, okay, you don't have that Texas-Oklahoma life raft to hang on to anymore. You got to stay afloat or you're going to drown.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, we're talking about what these the rest of the teams in the Big 12, what they have to offer. Kansas probably has the best asset other than Texas and Oklahoma football, which is Kansas basketball. And I do think they kind of are a natural fit in Big Ten country. Mm-hmm. There are reports that the Big Ten and Kansas have been in talks. I think that for them, that's what they can offer. You got to look at yourself honestly and start thinking about, do a self-evaluation about what you have to offer and what is the true value of your football program, or in Kansas' case, their basketball program. For Oklahoma State, man, I would be hitting up the Pac-12, and I'd be hitting up, man, I'd hit up all three, Pac-12, ACC, and Big Ten. You just got to see it. And I think you have more of a chance of going to Pac-12 country than you do in the Big Ten or the ACC, but you never know how this realignment is going to shake out. So yeah, a school like Oklahoma State, you probably should be open to all different bidders. If I was any of those Texas schools, TCU or Baylor or Texas Tech, I'd be looking to go to Pac-12 country too, because somebody's going to want to try to lock up the rest of Texas, even though Texas and Texas A&M
they want that footprint.
Pretty much have given the SEC the Texas market. Somebody else, just that little bit of a market share of Texas is worth a whole lot.
Just
to
a reason
country.
To get into the state, just to go. Keep relevancy.
The central time zone, like expand your footprint.
So many
reasons. If I'm Baylor and Texas Tech, TCU and Oklahoma State, I'd go to the Pac-12. That's my pitch. Like, if you want your conference footprint to stop at the state of Colorado border, then don't do anything. If you want it to extend beyond the state of Colorado, add us.
We
can keep your name a buzz in the state of Texas and in the Central Time Zone.
Yeah, and that's where the SEC and the Pac-12 will meet. Lane Turner's right there in Texas, right there in that Central Time Zone.
I-35 would be like the mesh point, if you will.
Literally, it is. And TCU's the type of school that, you know, they came from being in the West. They were the Mountain West and sort of had that alignment before, and they're the type of one that they may actually be enviable in this situation, just the fact that you can get into that DFW area. Just a reason to have good recruits to be able to come in and be able to at least sell yourself to the state and keep relevancy somewhere in middle America.
We'll talk recruiting coming up in the next segment, because that's not the reason this is happening, but let's not pretend like it's not a reason that's been mentioned by somebody amongst the powers that be about recruiting and, you know, getting this football program back on track. But Rod, you said something a couple of years ago when we were talking about this, and I agree with you at the time, and I never thought about it in the terms you put it, but ever since you did, it's really kind of hit home for me. When the Big 12 goes away, inevitably, the state of Texas will not be the hub for a conference anymore.
No.
And as somebody who was a child in the dying days of the Southwest Conference, and really, I grew up with the Big 12 as we knew it in
Me
the 12-team
too.
Format.
I'm a Big 12 baby.
Yeah, you are. Bro, you were playing Nickelback against Nebraska back. when that meant something, and B, that meant you had to.
Yeah, you played Nebraska in a Big 12 championship
come on
game.
Now.
You were taking on guys like Makovica head-on.
Look at that. The
plays.
Two teams you played in the Big 12 championship games are now in the Big 10 and the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Bull Reese just telling you to suck it up and deal with the defending that option.
Take them on, man. Take them on. Use leverage.
But the fact now,
fullback,
Hunter,
leverage works against pulling center. Come on.
What'd What'd you weigh, Rod, as a freshman?
175.
Yeah,
maybe?
Rod, go take on like Dominic Raiola. Head up. Just go do it.
That's what I was doing.
Give it your best shot.
Like,
son.
Our linebackers aren't a better option, Coach. There's got to be something going on.
Put your head in there, baby.
I'm glad we're not no longer playing meathead football in a phone booth. It makes
me
happy. Me
too.
The game has grown, but no, the fact that the state will not be the hub for a major conference, it is sad to me. And while, you know, Texas Tech and Baylor, it's not like those programs are going to go away. TCU, they're going to find a new home and do their own thing. You know, the fact that I was telling my wife this, like, it's weird for me to wrap my head around. Like, look, I'm looking forward to the potential of going to Knoxville and Athens and Gainesville and places that I otherwise wouldn't go to on a conference schedule. Baton Rouge, since COVID took that freaking return bout from us. But I was like, you know, and granted, as much as I've cussed the place, like, I was like, you know what? It's really weird. Like, whenever Texas leaves the Big 12, I'll probably never go to Lubbock again.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Unless
I'm not going.
Unless I'm driving through there, I'll never have a reason to go to Waco again, probably. I'll never go to Stillwater again.
Yeah, you are going to finally go back to College Station.
I think you're right.
It's just the fact that, you know, the state of Texas has always been the hub, the port of call for a conference, and now we're really not going to have that. It does make me sad, but at the end of the day, this is an opportunity, again, for the Texas Techs and the Baylors and the TCUs of the world. Okay, you don't have to attach yourself to Texas and Oklahoma. You can shape your own identity and kind of figure out who you are. And maybe you attach yourself to the Pac-12, and maybe you have a ton of success and you exist outside of Texas and Oklahoma. If I'm a Baylor fan or a TCU fan or a Texas Tech fan, that's what I'm holding on to today, is, hey, you can attach yourself somewhere else and exist outside of just, hey, we're in this conference because Texas and Oklahoma said we can be here and we're here until really today when they said we're kind of done with you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah. I think we'll get into this next segment because I know it's a little bit deeper.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's hit the break. As a matter of fact, as we go to break, let's give away another copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football, our second and final one for today. Snoop, what? Well, you're working the phones back there, wearing your Eastview hat. What number caller you want?
Seven.
That's okay. Seven. That's going to give folks listening on the app a chance to call in and maybe want a copy of Dave Campbell's
Texas
Football.
Craig says number two.
So caller number, lucky number seven on the hotline, 447-3776. Don't pull a Mexican Elvis and let me see your name, your number pop up on the text line that you call on the text line. Hotline is 447-3776. Call right now. Caller number seven wins a copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Take a break. Come back. Our second Longhorn Notebook of the show coming up on this special edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The triple option with RBKD.
Alvina at Thanksgiving, she'd come over and she'd like,
save me the butt! That what she sounded like? She held the note in that voice.
I do better dead-on impressions of people that don't know. Like, my family's dying right now because like that was dead-on.
What is the butt of the chicken?
I like this! Dude.
Of what?
Of the turkey.
Of the turkey?
Yeah. She's like,
shake the butt.
Weekdays 3 to 7 on the Horn.
Why do I run? Is it because I'm driven? Because I love the challenge? God, no. I do it for the beer. If you're the kind of runner who does it for the beer, this summer you can get one on us with the Michelob Ultra Beer Run. Grab your run buddies and get out there, because this summer, there's beer at the finish line. Sign up at ultrabeerrun.com and trade your miles for beer.
Hey, it's Wags. Join...
Cash Money Records taking over for the 99 in the 2000s. Girl, you're working with some bag, this bag, make it woo, spin his cash.
Did you notice the return cuts on this show are very different when Craig is here and when Craig is not here?
It's a good little tip. If you're listening and you don't know who's in, just listen to the music. I was like, today Craig's out.
Craig's a fan of Juvenile. I bet. I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, no, here's what it is, Rod. This is more of a Snoop problem, because Snoop is real hesitant to play hip-hop cuts when Craig is in.
I can't.
Why?
And to me, I feel like I'm playing hip-hop. like hip-hop to, like, the priest. And I know, like, Craig, you know, he's not, like, like the
Craig's
punk.
Not a prude.
Right, correct. Yeah, correct. That's what I was looking for. Craig is not a prude, but still... I just feel bad. I don't know.
Craig,
I can't do it.
I know where you're... hip-hop lyrics, so Craig raised kids, so he had to go through with teenagers, and teenagers, a lot of them, they like hip-hop, so I'm sure he heard his share of hip-hop.
Go listen to that verse that Tops dropped it. Craig rattled off. It ain't exactly fit for Sunday morning.
It's like my favorite thing I've ever did in radio.
It's up there, man. It is great.
I totally get where Snoop's coming from, though. Just as a guy that's been in that seat and having to do that whenever, like, you haven't met Craig Way, and then now you're there producing for Craig Way, and you want to make sure that you're doing your job well. Mm-hmm. And it's you don't know the person yet, so you can't just play anything for him. You're trying to play to the coattails of your talent, and that's not a song you maybe would think of.
Yeah, we're in a 2-week stretch where Craig is out. Craig is on vacation, but I am here. I'm back. You know, I'm kind of glad we had news to talk about, because nobody wants to hear about, oh, Jeff, how was your vacation? It was great. Beach was fine. Food in New Orleans was great. How was moving? It sucked, except for one part, which I'll thank a local business here before we end the show. But, nice. Moving has been, it's moving.
It's moving.
Does anybody ever say, oh, moving was great? No. Everybody always talks about
as
how
expected.
Bad moving is. But getting back down to the 666, you know, getting I told my wife, I'm like, I got to reprogram my brain of where the Target is, where the HEB is, because I've had a different Target now. I've had a different HEB.
Oh, yeah. Got a new neighborhood.
Yeah, well, and plus I'm living kind of, I'm not out in the holler, but I'm not exactly in the suburbs either. So, like, I ran over a rattlesnake the other night. I'm like, well, got to get used to doing stuff like that again.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be killing all kind of creatures up
there.
Oh,
yeah, we've killed scorpions and spiders.
Already?
And all kinds of vermin.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
My dog, I tell you what, Rob, my dogs love it, though. They get open space where they can run. And they're old, so this is... it's sad, but this is kind of the last. This is the last move for both of them.
It's sad. Out the country, have
they
some
can
fun.
Go out and frolic with the deer and all that stuff. It's they, nice. They love it.
That's a good point.
I love doing Light the Tower. I love doing Longhorn Blitz. So with Craig out, I decided to merge the two today. Light the Tower is a live 2-hour episode of the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Today's our normal recording day. So if you're hearing this on Tuesday morning, on the normal podcast feed, it's going to sound a little bit different, but Matt's going to mash it up and make it work as he does each and every week. But right now, give him some interstitial, Snoop, because we got another notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cptours.com.
I caught a show last week, and I noticed my name was omitted from the notebook. I'm like, damn, I'm gone for a couple days, and I lose my segment.
I felt bad doing it. but Craig was like, Jeff isn't here, so I'm like, I felt bad editing that.
Hey, did we get a winner for the second copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football?
Steve Bunch of Dripping Springs.
Nice. Shout out. The drip representing today.
The dirty drip.
On the hotline. So, yes, so that's it for our DCTF giveaways. We've got the rest of the week, two per show. And then once we give away our second one on Friday, that's it. No more. The cost, it's going to be a little bit more than $3.99 to get your copy of Dan Campbell's Texas Football ahead of the season. I wanted to talk recruiting. And, Rod, I'm glad you're here because you can speak to this. You're from Houston.
H-Town.
You're from H-Town.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar High School, by the way, shout
DB
out.
DB High.
As Rod said, once coached by the great Tom Nolan, the Al Davis of Houston ISD.
Yes. You used to smoke cigs on the sidelines.
That's an insane story.
Go under the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different time.
Different time, man.
Back in the 90s. But for the recruiting climate in the state, I've always used Houston as the barometer because the Metroplex is a different deal, and that's most of where Texas and Oklahoma's head-to-head battles are going to be. They're going to be in the Metroplex.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always used Houston because in my lifetime, I've seen Houston and kind of that Gulf Coast region going down to, you know, kind of Galveston, Angleton, Texas City. I've seen that be an A&M territory.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it be a Texas territory.
Yep.
And of late, really, if you go kind of from that Texas City, Angleton, Galveston area on up through Metro Houston, probably up to like Spring, maybe even into Conroe. Rod, that just shows you how big Greater Houston is, all the places that can claim being Greater Houston. Rod, it's going from being like an A&M town to a Texas city. And over the last probably, I don't know, 6-7 years, I've really noticed Houston is an SEC city. Now, I don't know if that's just I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think, one, Texas being down. I think, two, A&M opening the door to the SEC for the other SEC West programs specifically. But I think the other part is you've got a lot of Katrina evacuees that just settled in Houston. So those folks grew up LSU fans or Alabama fans. And those, if you're a high school kid in the greater Houston area now, you don't remember when Texas was really good. Mm-hmm. You've seen A&M have a couple of up years, but you don't remember when Texas was winning consistently. The programs in your lifetime, it's been LSU and Alabama and even an Ole Miss. So when we look at the recruiting impact of this, I don't see that slowing down with the greater Houston area. In other words, there might be a cycle or two, like Tom Herman's first recruiting cycle. Yep. That staff was really fortunate that they were at U of H.
Mm-hmm.
They were building some serious inroads with the B.J. Fosters and the Jalen Greens of the world and the crew at Lamar with Deshaun Jameson and Anthony Cook. They were pretty far down the road with those guys. Where I think Houston, had Tom Herman stayed at Houston, that 18 recruiting class at U of H, that could have been like a top 10 class, a historic class for a group of five school. That's how much legwork that staff had done on that 2018 class. It just made it a little more palatable for those guys to go to Texas and kind of follow that staff. And that's where you saw Tom Herman have a big cycle in Houston. So you can have cycles where it's good, but Rod, I think you're just too far down the tracks to where you're going to see one program consistently dominate greater Houston like we've seen A&M or Texas do throughout the years.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the landscape of college sports is changing, so recruiting obviously is going to change too. And I believe this is Texas and the leadership at Texas deciding they're tired of fighting that war they're losing.
Yeah.
Right? And that is to try to you know, basically build a wall around the state.
Can't be
last person to, you know, really dominate the state like that was Mack Brown to rule the state. He kind of ruled the Iron Throne, if you will, and got the top, got his pick of the top recruits. Because everything is changing and because Texas is not dominant like they were during those Mack Brown days, I don't think anybody will ever rule the Iron Throne of Texas ever again. So instead of, you know, trying to fight against Ohio State coming in and the SEC and Bama coming in, I do believe this is Texas saying, you know what? We recruit nationally now. We're going to get our share of the state of Texas. You know, back when I was being recruited by R.C. Slocum, you know, and Mack Brown, that was almost like a gentleman's agreement for them early on. Hey, let's keep the other blue bloods out of state, and then you and I will fight it out for the best talent. Mm-hmm. There was this pride about stay home, stay in the state of Texas, that kind of thing. And the Big 12 really, really did benefit from that because there was this pride about it being a Texas-centric type of conference. I think Texas is saying, you know what, like the war on drugs, right? We're losing that war, been losing it for a long time. And you see a lot of people saying, you know what, let's stop fighting the damn war, right? It's right now. Let's come up with more creative solutions to those issues. And I think this is Texas saying, let's come up with a more creative solution. We got name, image, and likeness now, all right? We got Sark, who's got West Coast ties, so we can recruit Cali now with that. We got, and you know, SEC we'll have the SEC brand. I know, like an Aggie, but that also helps you recruit and improves the profile. So I think with all those things, Texas is saying, yeah, we no longer have to dominate the state of Texas. There's another route to us being a, you know, to having some type of college football supremacy. We can do that in other ways.
Yeah, and basically, like, the one thing A&M had over Texas, and it was clear as day, was, well, yeah, you can come to the SEC, and when you can take that away from your opponent, and then it actually can become your strength, and you do that quickly with one decision, it's so big because of that tipping point, like Rod was talking about with Mack and Slocum back in the day. You know, recruiting had become more national, but it still was a lot more localized. Mm-hmm. But just nowadays, the way that these kids have bigger reach, everything's on social media, the recruiting already has organically grown out, and it is a lot more national. So in that situation, and add the NIL, it allows everybody to be coming into it so much more. Because I remember, you know, a decade ago, it'd be your Ohio State. And then when it gets to the point, though, that say you have a guy like Herman there dominating, you had the SEC coming in, you already had your Ohio State's, Michigan's over years past that would try to pluck stuff, it just makes it so much harder for Texas whenever you don't have something to sell. But what happens here is a tipping point. Now you have something to sell. You can go and give the argument that was beating you. It's just like, if you can't beat them, join them. And it's a quick, easy way to be able to at least level that playing field. And especially where you're one in-state, big state university, their one thing they had over you is gone now, and that's going to dig in their crawl forever.
But what you just talked about, Matt, what you just said, that's the key in all of this, right? Like, I just don't, it's hard for me right now. I'm not saying it can't happen. It's just hard for me to envision a scenario where somebody just dominates the state of Texas like Mack Brown did. And again, I kind of use Houston as the barometer for the climate in the state. That's just kind of always been my weird thing.
It's a battleground city.
I'm not saying that's what everybody has to do or how you look at this. That's just how I look at it. But, you know, the Texas roster, Texas has shown you can win a national championship with a roster almost exclusively of guys from the state of Texas.
And now that's even more so the case, actually. It's even more so the case than it was when Mack Brown got here. Now it's
more kids growing, you kids moving from California to Texas.
But but I agree with you, but now the recruiting landscape is so much different.
It's night and day.
It's night and day.
Yeah. And so I think if you're Texas and you start winning games, your access to and your ability to get the more high-end recruits in the state of Texas, guys closer to the top of the food chain, it's going to improve. But, Matt, you talk about level the playing field. All things are equal now. So if Texas starts winning and you're able to get those recruits and you're able to win more battles in that true battleground area of Houston, now it's like, well, A&M can't sell the fact that, hey, if you want to play in the SEC and stay at home, we're the only game in town. No, you're not. And, you know, Alabama,
we had
LSU,
it with leverage.
It's like, hey, you know, you're going to see Alabama and LSU on the schedule. And look, I mean, it's hard to envision it right now, but Nick Saban is not going to be at Alabama forever. And we've seen points in time in LSU's football history where they've kind of been up and down. So I think for Texas, I know for a lot of people, it's intimidating to imagine Texas going to the SEC, but there is a way that, and this is what should really excite Texas fans, if this program gets on a roll again and gets to the point where the majority of the higher, the true difference makers in the state of Texas want to come to Texas. Texas joining the SEC, there's no disadvantage now. With name, image, and likeness, conference affiliation, the playing field is as level as it's ever going to be, as it ever will be, and Texas is in a position to cash in.
Yep. Yeah.
And that wouldn't be possible if Texas had stayed in the Big 12.
Totally agree.
No, it actually became a leverage point where it was their advantage. By you leveling the playing field, elevates you, and then with you being the localized power in that area, if you just finally have success, and we always talk about riding that initial wave, a staff can already go and sell these things of hope, and that's where Texas is, and you get that little shiny car, and then if you're able to actually be successful with it, it could be something that could be a tipping point.
And going back to something you said earlier, Rod, I think if you're a kid in the state of Arizona or California, and you like being it, because I'm glad Tom Herman did it, and I'm especially glad that Steve Sarkisian has continued to do it. I've always wondered why Texas didn't recruit more in Southern California and in Arizona, especially coming off when Texas was winning big-time bowl games in both of those regions. And I've even had guys from those areas say, man, Texas just really didn't capitalize on it like they could have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Texas fans in Southern California and in Arizona and out on the West Coast. And now you can tell those kids from California and Arizona, hey, you like everything about Texas. Mm-hmm. You can still come here. But now if you come here, now there's no question we're in the preeminent conference in the country. And not only can you win championships, but you can be elite. You can be legendary coming to Texas and helping this program get a foothold in the SEC.
No doubt.
It's even, in other words, Texas now should be even more enticing for out-of-state recruits.
That's a sexier pitch.
When the leverage we were talking about before with the SEC used to be able to sell that and come into Texas, what you're explaining right now, Jeff, is now Texas can be that entity to that West Coast and have that leverage that in something that you couldn't sell those things, and now it's quick and easy if you already had a little bit of success recruiting in recent years out West, but now you can entirely entice an area that you've been able to not get what you wanted or maybe haven't got all the results you desired. It's you're in that spot the Aggies were in when they were using this state in that conference as a selling point.
I'll say this before we go to break. You know, I've seen the feedback from some Texas fans are uncertain. Is the SEC the right fit? And we'll see how all this plays out. And it's certainly looking like that's what's going to happen. But yeah, is it the right move? Yeah, it's the right move. Because if your football program gets to the point where you can dominate this conference, maybe not dominate, but year in and year out compete in this conference, then you know unquestionably you're one of the best football programs in the country year in and year out. There is going to be no debate about that. If you're running neck and neck with the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Floridas of the world, there's no question your football program, your brand is going to be in a position, really because of conference affiliation, and this is the really exciting part for Texas fans, that brand's going to be in a position where it's never been. To be in that league and be highly competitive in that league, that's the pot of gold at the end of this
rainbow. That's the leverage play you have now that you've created that was a deficiency, and then now it's actually something that is going to be beneficial to you.
It's a hell of a time, man. Take a break, come back, close out this special edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Back to close out a special edition of Light the Tower. We've done 2 hours of a live edition of the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Myself, Rod Babers, Matt Butler, riding alongside Snoop is behind the glass. Thank you, everybody, so much for your feedback on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Got to give a shout-out before I get off the air. I mentioned my move to the 666. Got to give a shout-out to Alden and the guys at Syntex Relocation Solutions, syntexrelocation.com, 512-662-2829. They beat a quote that I had from another entity and did a hell of a job getting me moved from Buda to San Marcos. Did it in a timely, professional manner. Great guys over there at Syntex Relocation Solutions. Syntex Relocation Solutions. SyntexRelocation.com for if you got moving needs, not just residential. They do office space moving as well. So if you got office space stuff that needs to be moved, they will do that as well. Syntex Relocation. com. And again, the number is 512-662-2829. Big shout out to Alden and his team over at Syntex Relo. Guys, before we get out of here, give you guys an opportunity for a quick parting shot, I do have to mention one more time, you can catch Rod today. Triple Option is live at the Leander Beer Market for an afternoon live broadcast as we lead into the Horn Top 20 Countdown. It's Rod BK, KD, live from 3 to 7. And then immediately following the broadcast is the Horn Top 20 Roundtable. Myself, Trey Elling, Chad Hastings, which, by the way, you can hear Chad and Trey coming up next on Shirts and Skins. And Aaron Hogan will all be out. We'll be talking about, I'm sure, Texas to the SEC. But looking forward to the 2021 college football season. And next Monday, our Horn Top 20 countdown begins. So, Rod, about 30 seconds, parting shot on Texas, the SEC, the demise of the Big 12. Anything you want to talk about 30 seconds, go.
I know a lot of Longhorn fans are worried about the competition level in the SEC. Can't operate and make your decisions based on fear. So you make your decisions based on what your ceiling is. And for Texas, if they reach their ceiling, this is the best move for them to go to the SEC.
Matt, about 30 seconds, parting shot.
Like you said, can't be stuck on the micro right now in that situation. Competition's going to be tough. But my first thoughts whenever I saw that Texas would maybe go to the SEC, I smiled and it was like, wow, they do a pod system. And if we're talking about the matchups, it would be great to see just Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas A&M in a 4-team pod if you got your 16. That was my first thought, and it'd be something that all the old heads would love and all the young people will too.
And there's still a lot to be determined. Like it's an 18-month notice that you have to give the Big 12 that you're not renewing those grant of rights. Texas and Oklahoma did that today, but we'll see if there's settlements, if the Big 12 just goes away and there's nothing left to salvage. If this happens earlier, I think everybody has a gut feeling it's going to be before 2025 that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. But today was the first massive step toward that process. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
It's fun, brother.
Actually, no, forget it. Let's do the proper outro. Matt, thanks for everything, man.
You're more than welcome.
Rod, we appreciate the time and the knowledge.
Anytime, brother. Anytime.
For Matt, for Rod, for Snoop, for everybody at the Austin Radio Network and the Horn Live, local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com, where you can get Rod B each and every weekday on the Triple Option from 3 to 7.
Shameless plug.
You can also catch myself and Craig Wake each and every weekday on Light the Tower here from 10 to noon. And thanks to Matt, get our archives, our classic shows and interviews on the Longhorn Blitz SoundCloud page.
Yep, just type in Longhorn Blitz.
For the Horn family, for the Horn 24/7 family, I'm Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening to this special edition of Light the Tower. We'll be back tomorrow to light it up from 10 to noon, and we will catch you again on the next episode. Come back, get back. That's the part of success. If you believe in the X, you